Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, thank you. Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here to conduct our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God is
to God. In John 16 and 13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here to bless us with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. And to God be the glory. At this time, I will play another inspirational selection.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Set them on my way, and I won't. Set them on my way, y'all. Ooh, set them on my way, y'all. I gotta keep on, y'all. Well, I'm moving upward, and I
Amen. Praise be to God. Lord, when I accept Jesus as my personal Savior, you changed me forever and made me whole. Let me share your son's message with my friends, with my family, and with the world. You are a God of love, redemption, conversion, and salvation. I will praise you today and forever in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
I am the creator, I am the maker of the universe. I am the one who spoke into nothing and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can let me be who I am to you. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am for you.
Stop it.
I am the one. Need and always provides. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, where you start, I am the one let me be who I am to you. And consider when God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed, but you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed, but racking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says, let me be who I am. I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but and say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs to know that God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but one more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can live here.
I am.
You're looking for love. They always say they got your back. Hard time will make your face too back. A waste of life, you can't turn back. Mama cried so much till she had a heart attack. In your cell, you're crying out, oh Lord. In the darkness, the voice answers your call. You feel the Holy Spirit anointed you fall. The light of His word pick you up and stand tall. Stand tall.
Proclaim His name. Hallelujah. And now it is time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled Constant Access. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. And it says, this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access. Praise be to God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could call your pastor or trusted Christian counselor at any moment for whatever concerns you? We all long to have someone we respect who is wise and godly to ask about the question on our hearts, run our ideas by, and who would always help us make decisions. Thankfully, we can have that kind of relationship with Jesus, who is with us at every moment. Jesus is continuously available to you and whatever it is you may need. He has lived a pure and blameless life on earth, understands the pressure and temptation you face, and knows how to help you overcome it all. Likewise, He knows what heaven is like, what it will require of you, and what it will take to prepare you for it. And the best part is that He is both sitting at the right hand of the Father, and He is also present with you always through His Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus offers you counsel that is better, wiser, timelier, and more insightful than anyone else ever could. So rejoice in the access you have been given and enjoy it often. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for saving me and giving me counsel. You are so good to me. In your name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that is our daily devotion for this evening. At this time, I will play a short selection and then come back with a word from the Lord. Amen.
Together we fill up the basket with our tithes and offerings to give because we love and we want to be a part in the building of God's kingdom on earth. You can send your love gift offerings to House of Vanessa Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468. For God loves a cheerful giver. In Hebrew, it is said, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Sheheko Nihiya Bivaro Sheheko Bara Likvodo Shetamit Sukeh Bivetro Shekoko Melech Haolam Beshemu Vadam Meshua Meshikenu. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings about everything by his word, who creates all for his glory, who always remembers his covenant, whose power fills the universe, in the name and blood of Jesus our Messiah. Amen.
Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Amen. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, Masters, be just and fair to your slaves. Remember that you also have a master in heaven. Amen. Encouragement for prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us, too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Praise be to God. So in these verses, Paul is asking for prayer in verse 4, asking for prayer that he could proclaim the good news about Christ clearly. And we can request prayer to do the same. No matter what approach to evangelism we use, whether emphasizing lifestyle and example or whether building relationships, we should never obscure the message of the good news. Amen. Praise be to God. So let us pray. I know, Lord, that this world is not my home. I am only here for a brief while. And you have given me the priceless gift of eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ. Keep the hope of heaven fresh in my heart. And while I am in this world, help me to pass through it with faith in my heart and praise on my lips for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. A pastor is invited to a family's home for Sunday supper. Before anyone says grace, the children start to eat. The embarrassed mother gives them a quick reprimand while the children stare in confusion. The pastor then offers grace in the strained silence. The mother explains, "We don't always say grace before meals at our house. Of course, this is fairly obvious." But the pastor butters his roll and waits because he knows there is another line to this script. We just take it for granted that God knows how grateful we are. Why should we pray? God knows how grateful we are. That figures according to the logic of the dinner table. The trouble with this kind of attitude is that it doesn't stay at the dinner table. It leaves the table and roams all over the house. And soon we find ourselves saying, "Why pray at all? God knows all that we need." Did not Jesus himself say that God knows all that we need before we even ask him? But Jesus' conclusion was, "Therefore, do pray." This same line of reasoning led Frederick B. Spickman in his book, "Love is Something You Do," to ask the provocated question, "What if God refuses to read his children's mail unless it is addressed to him?" We are to pray in order that we might commune with God and share with him the most deeply felt needs of our lives. We are to express to God the gratitude and praise and joy we feel in him and in salvation. Paul elaborates on the purpose of prayer in Colossians 4, 2 through 4. Amen. He says, "Have you ever grown tired of praying for something or someone?" Paul says we should devote ourselves to prayer and be alert in prayer. Our Persistence is an expression of our faith that God answers our prayers. Faith should not die if this answer comes slowly, for the delay may be God's way of working his will in our life. When you feel tired of praying, know that God is present, always listening, always answering. Maybe not in ways you had hoped, but in ways that he knows are best. The mysterious plan is Christ's good news of salvation. The whole focus of Paul's life was to tell others about Christ, explaining and preaching this wonderful mystery. Paul asked for prayer that he could proclaim the good news about Christ clearly, and we can request prayer to do the same. No matter what approach evangelism we use, whether emphasizing lifestyles, example, or whether building relationships, we should never obscure the message of the good news. Amen? And that's from Colossians 4, 2 through 4. Now in verse 2, the purpose of prayer is seen in the manner of prayer. But first let me, well, I read the text already where it says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Colossians 4, 2-4 in the NIV version. Amen? And the title of my message is The Purpose of Prayer. So again, tonight my message is divided into two paragraphs. And the paragraph one is the purpose of prayer is seen in the manner of prayer in verse 2. We are to pray with perseverance. Prayer is not to be a spasmodic outburst in a moment of emergency, but persistent, calling on God for his guidance and blessings. We are to pray with watchfulness. This word literally means to be wakeful, to be alert when we pray. Prayer should not be reserved solely for times of crisis. We should pray before the crisis comes so that we have the spiritual resources to meet the testing time. Napoleon said that battles are not won on the battlefield. Rather, they are won at the conference table in the planning meetings before the battle is ever begun. We are to pray with gratitude. Amen. In verses 3 through 4 says the purpose of prayer is seen in the object of prayer. We are to pray that God will give us an open door of service. Remember that Paul was in prison when he wrote his letter to the Colossians. He could have prayed for many things while he was in prison, released the favorable outcome of the trial, comfort, rest. But Paul prayed that God would give him an opportunity to minister. We are to pray that God will help us take advantage of our opportunity to serve for service, to pray for the open door. An opportunity for service is just half the prayer. We are to pray also for the courage and the ability to take advantage of the opportunity that is there. Paul wanted the Colossians to pray that he might be able to proclaim the mystery of Christ. This should be our prayer too. Praise be to God. And also, the apostles proceed with the duty of masters to their servants. Not only justice is required of them, but strict equality and kindness. Let them deal with servants as they expect God should deal with themselves. Amen? No duties can be done all right unless we preserve in fervent prayer and watch therefore with thanksgiving. The people are to pray particularly for their ministers. Believers are exhorted to right conduct towards unbelievers. Be careful in all converse with them to do them good and recommend religion by all fit means. Diligence in redeeming that time commends religion to the good opinion of others. Even what is only carelessness may cause a lasting prejudice against the truth. Let all discourse be discreet and seasonable, as become Christians, though it be not always of grace. It must always be with grace. Though our discourse be of that which is common, yet it must be in a Christian manner. Grace is the salt which seasons our discourse and keeps it from corrupting. It is not enough to answer what is asked unless we answer aright also. To God be the glory. And at this time, I will give my conclusion is this, my brothers and sisters. This is the purpose of prayer. We pray that we might commune with God with persistence, watchfulness, and thankfulness in order to have opportunities to witness for Christ and the strength to take those opportunities. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is unto me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of faith after me. Father God, I am a sinner. I pray you forgive me for my sins. I thank you for sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross for my sins. Jesus, be my Lord, Savior, and friend. I want to follow you all the days of my life. I pray that your Holy Spirit takes residence in me. All these blessings I ask in Jesus' name, I pray and believe that it is already done. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you believe that, I now welcome you into the family of God. And the next thing that you have to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church to further your Christian walk with Christ. Amen. Praise God. And my benediction for this message is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Amen.
rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Trying to make tomorrow better than today. Yesterday's rain brings hope of a sunny. Never say never, or come what may. For there's a greater power, and on the right hand of the throne He reigns. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Oh, 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 oh,
you provide the spirit.
Praise be to God. Again, we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. Like I always say, I like to give my speakers a 15-minute grace period, and after 15 minutes, then I will bring a word from the Lord. Amen? Be ye also ready. Praise be to God. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Amen, amen, and amen. Also in Psalms 144:3 through 4 in the NIV says, Lord, what are human beings that you care for them, mere mortals that you think of them? They are like a breath. Their days are like a fleeting shadow. In the NIV, amen. Praise God. A gentle breeze touched my cheeks. as I sat across legged in the grass, watching my six-year-old blow bubbles. "Look, Mom," she crowned as one left her wand and floated skyward. Suddenly, pop, it was gone, just like people. I thought with a heavy heart, here 1 second, gone the next. Last month, my dear grandfather had passed away. He was 94 and ready to join my grandmother in heaven. But the enormity of his loss was something I was struggling to absorb. I was chafing the part of God's creation that requires beautiful things and beautiful people to disappear. How could someone with such weighty presence in my life suddenly just be gone? The void he left behind felt vast. "Look, they are dancing." Aurora called again. I followed her eyes, and sure enough, a cluster of glittering, rainbow-colored bubbles was twirling and bobbing in the wind, tossed this way and that. The bubbles looked like they were dancing. It was beautiful. True, each one did eventually pop. But then I realized their popping wasn't the point, was it? Their point was their infamous dance, heavenward, and the glory they shared with those left behind, watching them go. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, God, for helping me remember that I do not need to understand each facet of your creation, like loss, to trust that you are at work within it. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, we are waiting on our speaker for this evening, and I will play another selection, and after that, I would come back with a word. Amen.
To see you,
to be home.
lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord. Every voice in this room, we have about another 15 seconds. I want you to open your mouth. We have sang for your glory. I will do anything. I wonder what type of praise you will give him until he releases his glory. Somebody raise up your hands and open your mouth now. Can I get somebody to cry out for God in this room? I'm only talking to those of you who are hungry for him. I'm only talking to those of you who are thirsty for him. Open up your mouth and begin to cry out for him.
Amen. Praise be to God. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 25 through 34. And this is Jesus speaking, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. Where it says, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns. For your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. So let us pray. Eternal and everlasting God, who was and is and ever shall be, creator of the earth and all therein, savior and redeemer of our lives, and ever-present spirit, we can scarcely take it in when we recognize that you are our Father, loving us even more than any parent could love us, desiring good things for us even more than they can. You know us completely, where we go, what we do, when we cry, and when we laugh. You hear us when we pray, and you guide us in your way. It is our joy to live before you and to offer our gifts of praise for your work in this world. Please accept the tithes and offerings we bring to you and use them for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. You might wonder about the worthiness of setting a goal for your family's happiness. Happiness is certainly not the goal of the gospel for our lives. Obedience to God must always take precedence over the fleeting pleasures of sin in Hebrews 11 and 25. But if we define happiness as a sense of well-being, of contentment, of joy, purpose in living, joyful purpose in living, then happiness is, at last, what most people are looking for in life. In today's scripture reading, Jesus had not dismissed happiness as a superficial desire, but rather focused on how an individual and a family can find true happiness. We don't have to be anxious about life, although we often are. Matthew 6:25, 27-28, 31-34, there is a way to find happiness in the midst of our living. And Jesus wants us to find it. But first, we need to recognize that we can miss happiness in a frantic effort to gain it for our family. Amen. Praise be to God. My text for this message is coming from Matthew 6:33 in the NIV. And it says, But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Amen? Chico, be quiet. Amen. And my title for this message is, you can have a happy family. Tonight, my message is divided into two paragraphs. Amen? Mm-hmm. And the first paragraph is ways we miss having a happy family. We miss having a happy family when we are never satisfied with what we have. It is fine to be people of vision and anticipation for the future, but we should not miss the taste of now and the colors of the present moment. Happiness is not some magical state of existence that we finally discover over the next mountain of life. Happiness happens to you along the way. In the midst of life, people who seek happiness on the other side of the mountain are those who try to find the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. They will never find it. The tragic truth is that many families run right past happiness and search for it somewhere else. So don't miss the gift of joy a child's smile can bring today. Don't miss the explosion of wonder a child's question can set off in your heart. Don't miss the gift of love your spouse can bring to you today. You will miss the moment if you are not paying attention. We miss having a happy family when we value happiness too much. If you would rather be happy than committed to one another, if you would rather be happy than courageous, if you would rather be happy than responsible, if you would rather be happy than right, then you will never really be happy at all. Husbands and wives who value happiness more than sincere effort to together in fidelity and love will not be happy for long. People who seek happiness in one marriage or affair after another are deceived into believing that happiness is a gift someone else can give them when in truth, happiness must come from within. Amen? Praise be to God. We miss having a happy family when we are not willing to do God's will. If we will not seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he cannot add to us the needs and desires of our heart. 3, God's will does not always lead us easy tasks or give us smiles and laughter. Sometimes we walk with him through the darkness of suffering or in the outer reaches of rejection as we seek to follow him. But the testimony of Christians is that deep joy can be known in obedience and faithfulness to his will. In Romans 8 and 18 in the NIV, Paul said, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Amen? Ways we can have a happy family. We can have a happy family when we value each other. Matthew 6 and 26. Our Heavenly Father feeds the birds of the air. But what about us? He values us more than the birds, so we can be sure he will care for us. We are given value by our Creator, and no one can take that value from us. People are happy when each member of the family recognizes the value of every other member. People are unhappy in their homes when they don't treasure one another. We are each God's gift to the other members of our family. God stands behind the value of every person and guarantees it. The next time We are tempted to ignore our children or shout at our spouse or ridicule someone's effort. We should remember that we are dealing with someone God loves and has created and shared with us for our joy and fulfillment. Praise be to God. We can have a happy family when we understand that life is more than external. Matthew 6 and 25. Life is more than food and drink, clothes and shelter. As important as they are not the goal of life. It is ironic that in most Christian congregations, talk about food, clothing, and houses in a discussion of status symbols. While in much of the world that same discussion is a debate about survival. It isn't just food, but dining at the right restaurant. It isn't just a pair of jeans, but designer jeans. It isn't just a house, but the address that we're interested in. God save us from explaining our poor giving habits by pleading that our bills are so high when much of our world does not have the luxury of even having bills. A happy family puts sufficient emphasis on the necessities and desires of life to provide motivation for work and theft. But it is not consumed by a passion for gadgets and expensive toys, nor by anxiety about life's essentials. Jesus doesn't tell us not to worry about food and clothing because they are unimportant. Just the opposite in Matthew 6, 32-33. Jesus asserts that the Father knows we need these things and will provide them. They are so important that God will not leave their provision entirely up to us. He intends to provide for his own. Amen.
Praise be to God.
Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We can have a happy family when we find the purpose in life God has for our family. Matthew 6 and 33. When a family sees itself as a unit of love and service that can be offered to God for his use in blessing and redeeming the world, that family is on its way to happiness. Happiness is what happens to us when we are doing God's will. A family is happy when its members are fully committed to seeking the kingdom of God first. This verse reminds us of the necessity of setting priorities for life. If God and his will are first, nothing can be above or before him. When God is at the center of life, everything else fits into place. Parents can help their children if, by example and precept, they teach them how to live by loving God as they love nothing else and loving their neighbors as they love themselves. Praise be to God. Thank you, God. Thank you. You see, there is scarcely any sin against which our Lord Jesus more warns his disciples than disquieting, distracting, distrustful cares about the things of this life. This often ensnares the poor as much as the love of wealth does the rich. There is a carefulness about temporal things, which is a duty, though we must not carry these lawful cares too far. Take no thought for your life, not about the length of it, but refer it to God to lengthen or shorten it as he pleases. Our times are in his hands, and they are in a good hand. Not about the comforts of this life, but leave it to God to make it bitter or sweet as he pleases, food and remnant. God has promised, therefore we may expect them. Take no thought for the morrow, for the time to come. Be not anxious for the future, how you shall live next year, or when you are old, or what you shall leave behind you, as we must not boast of tomorrow. So we must not care for tomorrow, or the events of it. God has given us life and has given us the body. And what can he do for us? Who did that? If we take care about our souls, which are more than the body and its life, we may leave it to God to provide for us food and raiment, which are less. Take this as an encouragement to trust in God. We must reconcile ourselves to our worldly estate as we do to our statue. We cannot alter the disposals of providence. Therefore, we must submit and resign ourselves to them. Thoughtfulness for our souls is the best cure of thoughtfulness for the world. Seek first the kingdom of God and make religion your business. Say not that this is the way to starve. No, it is the way to be well provided for. Even in this world, the conclusion of the whole matter is that it is the will and command of the Lord Jesus that by daily prayers we may get strength to bear us up under our daily troubles and to arm us against the temptations that attempt them. And then let none of these things move us. Happy are those who take the Lord for their God and make full proof of it by trusting themselves wholly to his wise disposal. May the Spirit convince us of sin, convict us of sin in the want of this disposition, and take away the worldliness of our hearts. Hallelujah, Jesus. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say, you can have a happy family. It won't be easy, but it is possible. You won't be happy every day. There will be times when you go through painful and difficult trials. But by the grace of God, even those moments can contribute to the growing joy and happiness you will find as you live and grow together within his will and loving care. I truly hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is on to me. To God be the glory. And it is not easy to have a happy family, but it is possible. Amen. Praise be to God. And I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you until we meet again tomorrow at 6 p.m. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And the next thing you have to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church. Amen. And my benediction for this message is coming from, praise God, it's coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Good night and shalom.
like Jesus is calling you. Oh, 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 rise into the light, the
into his glorious light of redemption. Let us pray. Repeat after me. Lord, I am sorry for my sins. I repent for my sins, and I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life right now. Be my Lord, Savior, and friend. Let your Holy Spirit abide in me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. I thank you for forgiving me and receiving me right now. Any prodigal sons and daughters out there that would like to be rededicated, let us pray. God, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry that I have strayed from you. I ask you for your forgiveness. I repent for my sins. I don't want to live like a prodigal son any longer, or a prodigal daughter. Renew, revive me. As I once again follow you, I thank you, Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.